Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. Now, as you know, I am a huge podcast fan. The reason why I got into this industry is because I started listening to podcasts, and I met my guest today through a podcast called Brown Ambition, which you can find everywhere, and what they talk about is money and life. So it's a combination money podcast and life. And Mandy from Not Magnifying Money, which used to be a Yahoo property, Helen is helping Mandy out with some of her financial issues. And so Helen, I met Helen by listening to that podcast, essentially. So I had a 20-minute call with Helen, and I wanted to bring another CPA on to explain more about how we should handle our money better. So without further ado, I'm going to let Miss Helen take it away and explain more of what she does, and then I'll be asking her questions along the way.
Thank you so much, Gwen, for having me on the podcast this morning. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, you are so welcome. go ahead.
Yeah, so just a little bit about myself. I have been a financial planner for almost a decade now. It seems to have flown by so fast, but I primarily work with single women and solo entrepreneurs, particularly attorneys and consultants and creatives, to help them with their investment decisions and also helping them, you know, pay down debt, their retirement planning. So really doing comprehensive planning to help those individuals make sound financial and money decisions. So a lot of folks come to me and ask me, Helen, I have this money issue, and really it's not a money issue that they have. It's just a matter of changing habits of what you do with the money that you have, or if you feel like there's a lack of money, what you can do. So that is the type of consulting and guidance that I provide to my clients in the field.
So, okay. Now, before I get into the meat and potatoes of my questions, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, which I am now doing, I have my paycheck deposited directly into my bank account. So I don't have to chase around the check. I did that for 2 years. I think I chased around the check for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I chased around my paycheck for 2 years. And I'm like, forget this. Forget this. I'll give you guys a blank check and you take whatever you need off. But for the millennials out there that haven't necessarily got the concept of direct deposit yet, how do we teach them that, yes, direct deposit is a good thing, yes, you don't have to worry about losing the paper check, and let's just be honest, people lose checks all the time, and so how can we teach them that direct deposit and having money is a good thing?
Sure. So I embrace technology. So I love technology. With checks, it's a little bit old school way of doing transactions, of transferring money from your bank account to another person's bank account. That's literally what you're doing. I know in a sense it's like you're getting payment from someone or you are paying someone. But checks for tracking purposes and ease of of being able to track where, when, and how the money is moving from one bank account to the next, whether it's getting a direct deposit from your employer or from or you're making a deposit into somebody else's account, it's always a good idea to try to do or set up a direct deposit, or ACH is what they call it, into the other person's account or receiving on your end into your account. So that way you can always go back and find it much easier versus, like, if you wrote somebody a check, it's much harder to track and search it within your checking account platform or your savings account platform online. You can just always put in, you know, the dollar amount to search it, but it's just more difficult to see who, when, what came through.
And people, if the check gets water spilled on it, that's the end of your check.
and then you got to go back and say, ask this person for a check again.
Those of you who put your checks in your purse and have your water bottle spill on your check, which has happened, let's not worry about the check. Let's try to get on fires to do direct deposit to make it easier on everyone. I'm like, once I learned about direct deposit, I'm like, okay, sign me up. I'm like, but then you just have to be mindful of the date you get paid. I learned that the hard way this year, too, myself. And then you just have to ask your employer, has anything changed? Or when you update your bank account, obviously, you have to give your employer the new bank account checking number, the new router number and checking number. So I love direct deposit. So, Helen, what has been your biggest entrepreneurial success and entrepreneurial downfall?
I don't know if I have any downfalls. You know, my greatest entrepreneurial success, and I'm still working towards it, is you know, continue to be creative within my business and continue to just think outside the box. Because sometimes, you know, you meet milestones within your business, and then you think, all right, I have success, but then really there's more to it. And I think sometimes when we, and this is the downfall side of it, I believe, is, you know, you get so entangled and attached to the last level of success that you achieved that you tend to not want to think further ahead or move forward in a way. And you know, as your business grows, the economy grows and changes or weakens, and you just have to be very nimble. And I think a lot of people don't keep that in mind when they are building a business or running their business. So I always try to keep that in mind. But the next level of success that I want to achieve is, you know, being really excited to go to work every day. You know, and right now I have built the business for the last 5 years. Capital Benchmark Partners is the name of my company. And I also have a podcast called Live and Earn on iTunes and Spotify that you can find. And so really, you know, one of the major successes I had in my entrepreneurial journey was actually quitting my 9-to-5 job. I would say that took a lot of courage to take that leap, and I will always be humble and grateful and look back at that and say and continue to remind myself why I chose an entrepreneurial path. I had no idea what being an entrepreneur looked like. I just knew that I didn't want to ever ask anybody else for a raise or ask for vacations anymore, you know. So I give myself a raise if I need to. So I would say that has been the greatest success. And again, the downfall would be just getting so stuck in my own mind sometimes and even having negative self-talk that, you know, that could be limiting. So, yeah.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, what were you doing? And I say doing for your 9-to-5 job before you decided to make the leap.
Yeah, I mean, my career, I've been doing the same thing for a while. I was a stockbroker before I started my business. I had already been managing investments just for another company's portfolios and those clients' portfolios. And so when I decided to start my own business to do more one-on-one financial planning with clients and focus more on the younger generation of clients who are beginning to build their wealth and at the beginning careers of their careers, you know, I deal with a lot of individuals in their 30s and 40s who are, you know, in that stage of accumulation. So I left that 9-to-5 as a stockbroker, and I formed my own investment company and my own financial planning business. So it wasn't really a matter of changing careers. It was just a matter of changing the structure in which I provided services, and I just launched a business back in 2015.
Yeah. It wasn't making a big, giant leap from one career to another. It was just saying that I want to do this on my own. I want to see if I can, and if I can't, I will go back and get a 9-to-5 job. I mean, you did it after 2009, and the reason why I bring 2009 up is because that's because of the economic downturn that we all suffered, including myself. I was one of 1,000 people that lost their jobs all across the country. And so you made the leap after the economic downturn, but you still made the leap, which is good for you. And my next question, while my phone rings in the background, there is a telemarketer. I know it. I don't pick up that phone line. And so my next question to you is, if you had to be educated by anyone, who would it be and why?
Can you repeat your question, Wen? I'm sorry.
If you had to be educated by anyone, who would it be and why?
Oh, if I had to be educated by someone?
Yes.
One of my favorite authors, and I've been reading her book, is Brené Brown. And she was the one who wrote Daring Greatly, and recently I've been reading Rising Strong. And I would love to meet her. I would love to have her as a mentor because she has such an incredible story. And seeing her opening up, you know, in a very public platform, I remember seeing her on TEDx, and, you know, I would love to be learning from her, you know, hopefully at some point in the future. I mean, it seems like a far-fetched dream. I'm sure other people would love to get in contact with her too, but she just talks so genuinely about falling and how to pull yourself back up. And I think in every stage of your life, regardless of where you are, success or downfall, you know, success doesn't last forever, and happiness doesn't always last forever. And it's just those moments in time where we really challenge ourselves is the point where we are able to pick ourselves back up. And that is what I have learned from reading her books, and would love to have her as an educator to me in my personal life and for my own professional development, because whatever you believe personally, it trickles into your professional life as well. So that's who I would love to meet.
Brené Brown. Well, that's amazing. And hopefully one of these days you're going to put her on your podcast to talk about her financial journey and how she made it, because that would be just a fascinating interview. I would like to know how she made it financially and how she made it so big myself.
Yeah. Have you read her books?
I haven't, but I have read Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert and Elizabeth Gilbert's other book, Big Magic, and that's more of the creative side. Big Magic is more of the creative side. Eat, Pray, Love is more of Elizabeth's journey, and I love them both. I would highly recommend yes, I read both of them on Kindle, so that's one way to do it. But what would be your best advice, and it doesn't have to be financially, although it can be, for a disabled person? What would be your best advice for someone who's sitting in a cubicle right now or is disabled and can't work, unlike myself, because I'm very, very lucky and I have an equal opportunity employer? And what would be your best advice for them?
Yeah, I don't look at, you know, disabled individuals as disabled. You were just dealt a different set of cards, and finances is neither man, woman, any particular sex. Money is money, and it's not exclusive to the rich, poor, disabled, non-disabled, gay, straight, whatever. We all have to deal with our personal finances in very different ways. And it, you know, money is very emotional. Our success, we tend to tie our success to our finances. So my best advice to those who are, facing physical challenges is to not let that get in the way of your mentality of not being able to make a lot of money or that you can't succeed financially, because you can. And I've seen plenty of examples of it. I mean, if you just look at Stephen Hawking, he wrote books and he wasn't even able to speak, and yet he is renowned as one of the best scientists and physicists out there. So that is my financial advice, is money is a mental state of mind, and you can do whatever it is in your head. Just if you think you want $40,000 a year to make that much, you're going to make $40,000 a year. If you want to make $200,000 a year, regardless of your situation, you can make $200,000 a year. It might take a little bit more work, but it's possible.
And for those who want to get out of a low-paying job, like, let's use myself, for example. I finally got out of the classroom, and I'm on the admin side of education. Well, teachers don't get paid very much. Let's be honest there. So for those who are in a low-paying job, what would you suggest, Helen, that they do? Do they look for another job while they're still in that low-paying job, or do they use that low-paying job as a stopgap?
Yeah, there are so many ways to make money nowadays, especially online. What I encourage people to do, especially if you're in the teaching field, you can create online courses and sell it on there and just learn to do the marketing. I myself am developing an online course about money and teaching other entrepreneurs how to price their services, and starting up a business from scratch. So there's so many different ways to make money online these days, and you can even, there's eBay, there's Amazon. If you have stuff in your house that you don't want or need, or if you're good at arts and crafts with your hands, or even writing a book, you can use a dictation service and speak into a device, and it will transcribe the script for you. So don't limit yourself to just thinking, I have to work in a physical job. There are ways in which you can, one, work virtually, and two, establish some sort of online business in order to make different streams of income for yourself.
No, when I first started my teaching job, and when I was a volunteer, and it wasn't a good situation, let's just put it this way, I'm in a better situation now than I was back then. But I wrote a book. I wrote a book literally on my iPhone, and yeah. That book has now turned into like a win, which could still be found on Amazon, The Joys of Self-Hugging My Own Book, but that's okay. And so, and it could be found on Audible, you guys. Audible. you guys want to go check that out, you're more than welcome to it. I, Vin, W-I-N, that's how you spell it. And Helen, why did you start your podcast? Why?
Sure. I started my podcast because I wanted to give a platform for individuals, particularly women, to vocalize and share their personal money journey stories. I have a lot of clients who come in, and there is so much shame. Like, they come to me, you know, it takes a lot of courage for you to say, hey, I have a financial problem. And really, at the end of the day, it's not a financial problem that they have, whether it's a budgeting issue or a debt management issue. Again, it's a matter of changing your habits and your mentality around the money that you do manage personally. You know, and I just want other women, especially, to hear stories of, you know, my clients who asked for a raise and got rejected. Well, how do you go back and ask for another raise? Getting income discrimination, you know, you working in a high-ranked job, but you're getting paid less than all of your male counterparts. And how do you address that? How do you address that with your husband? How do you start a business from scratch with $100,000 in student loan debt? I just released an episode, or it will be released tomorrow, an episode about, you know, this woman sharing her story about her student loan debt and how she started a yoga retreat business. Just phenomenal stories like that, just so other individuals can hear, you know what, my situation is not all that bad. Like, these individuals, they fought cancer and they went into debt because of it. Like, my situation is not that bad, and you know, I can relate to those money stories. So I started it, the podcast, the Live and Earn podcast, to capture how we live and how we make a living, how we earn our living, and how we really earn our place in this world. So it's just really capturing those stories, and even a way for me to step out of my own comfort zone to tell my own life story and journey with how I dealt with my own finances and how I grew up, you know, being taught how money is to be handled. So.
And guess what, you guys? I am helping Helen out by being on her podcast. I think we scheduled that one for October. So, of course, I'll be sharing my money story, and, of course, I'll be sharing it all around the planet with my fans and helping Helen out. And I just want to thank Helen for coming on my podcast, and not only coming on my podcast, but inviting me on hers and sharing her tips on brown ambition, because I would have never found out anything about Helen if I hadn't listened to brown ambition. So thank you guys for bringing Helen on. And brown ambition is one of those podcasts that comes out Wednesdays, and you guys should tune in and listen to it, because we all need a little dose of how are we doing and happiness. And when it comes to talking about money shouldn't be a taboo subject. I mean, I've had a bank account since I was 10. I still use it. And my dad is very open and honest with me about money. And, of course, I grew up with the advantages of having money up until 2010. As a matter of fact, I still have money. We're working on getting a trust fund set up for me, which is a long, slow process, you guys. It's slow. And right now, my trust fund is sitting in a foreign country that is corrupt, and that part is public knowledge. For those of you that don't know about the Bahamas, they do icky stuff with money all the time. They bribe the government. They just do astronomical stuff with their money. They're a corrupt country. It's a crime-ridden country. And the reason why my trust is not in my bank account yet is because we haven't come up with a plan to get it out of my trust fund company. It's been very, 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 very slow, and it's driving me bananas. It's actually driving me bananas. And I want to get it out of their hands and into my bank account as quickly as possible. But I've been, I did everything they told me, but now it's like, come on, you guys. And it was in my mom's will, too, that this trust fund needs to be set up for me to keep me going because of my physical disability. So it's right now driving me bananas that it's sitting in a third world country. And, yeah, so that's enough my rambling on about my trust fund. But before I let Helen go, I want Helen to ask me a couple questions.
Sure. You know, when people look at you on the outset, what have been some of the major challenges you have faced and how have you, you know, a lot of people might judge you, be like, oh, sending off very negative feedback to you or commentary to you and think that you are limited to your abilities and having a place in this world. So how have you addressed those folks who have, you know, spoken negatively about you or have been passive aggressive towards you and just very limiting in their beliefs of your capabilities?
Well, a lot of people think that disabled people, and I hate to put it this way, but I will, are dumber than blocks of blocks. A lot of people don't understand the gifts of having a disability. And I almost said challenges, which I won't say because I will probably get fan mail that icky for that one, but the gifts of having a disability. And so a lot of people don't understand when you give a person a challenge, they do it to the 10th degree. My assistant has cerebral palsy, and I gave her the job to schedule Ask When. Do you know, she does it like there's no tomorrow. She goes, Ask When, here's my job, I do it to the best of my capabilities. And when we had a valley-wide internet outage yesterday, so I didn't record the podcast because I had no cell phone service, plus I had no internet service. But as soon as that outage was over, she was back on track and doing her job. So give a person a challenge. Hire a person with a disability. That's how you'll empower them to make money, quite frankly, is a lot of equal opportunity employers don't exist. I'm lucky because I have had one for 8 years. I did not have one before I had an employer that was very mean and just didn't respect diversity, and she treated me as if I was dumber than a box of rocks. And so with this Me Too movement, now women have to stand up for their rights.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I love your bravery in stepping up and stepping out to vocalize and providing a platform for other individuals who are in very similar situations as you and giving them courage to do more, you know?
Well, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying it. And I think now more than ever, we need women podcasters to step up to the plate and say, heck no, this is not right. Now more than ever with this Me Too movement, because I was emotionally abused in the workplace. People know that. That's public knowledge. My dad got me out of an abusive situation in the workplace. It happens all the time. And these employers just want to push it under the rug. And so I think we need small women like myself, and Helen getting out there and saying, this is not fair. Things have got to change, not only for equal opportunity and employment for the disabled, but equal opportunities for men versus women and a pay scale. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Do we have that hour? No. But that's how I feel. That's how I feel. I mean, that's how I feel. This pay scale thing has got to change.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of opportunities now to you know, have an entrepreneurial pursuit, you know, either starting a solo business online or like you selling a book. I mean, I'm sure you have several different streams of making money, and I always encourage people to do that, just to have a different source, and diversifying how money is coming into your household is always a smart move.
Yeah, because I will share my story publicly. It's September as we record this, so teachers, unless they're doing administrative work, teachers don't get typically paid during the summer. So that's why we're all so excited when September comes. Well, when I looked at my bank account on the 15th, I go, where's my paycheck? Where's my paycheck? And so I immediately contacted my employer. My employer goes, oh, I'm so sorry. We've switched systems. We'll get you back on payroll. But I'm like, well, luckily I have another stream of income that can sell ice to Eskimos if I need to, because I'm like, well, there goes my, I got my paycheck, thank God. But what if I didn't have the other stream of income? What if I was stuck in the position of paying rent as a disabled woman? I don't have to do that. I live with family, and my family doesn't want me to pay rent. And so I am blessed to have the rent situation out of the way, but, and that will be up until the day he dies, and then I'm taking over my house. But I was thinking about that when my paycheck disappeared. What if I didn't have that other stream of income? So you guys, this is your challenge for today. Come up with that other stream of income today as you're listening to this podcast. You might be hearing this podcast on a Wednesday morning. And so come up with that other stream of income today, just in case, God forbid, your employer lays you off.
Mm. That's great.
And so
Thank you so much, Helen. That's all I'll say about that.
You guys can come up with that other stream of income. There's eBay, there's Amazon, Google it and come up with it. You guys can do it, and Helen highly recommends it. And Helen, where can people find you? How can the people work with you? I know you give 15-minute complimentary calls via Zoom, or how can people work with you? I know you're based on the East Coast, but I know you do Zoom calls. So how can people find you? How can people work with you?
Sure. So if you are looking for just financial planning guidance or just ideas on what to do with your money, or just want to talk to me about your current situation, I give a complimentary 30-minute call. It's just a simple phone call that we hop on, and you can go to my website at capitalbenchmarkpartners.com. That's the name of my company that I started, and you will find a link on there for a free ebook. So provide your email, and we'll shoot you over the ebook for free. It's called What's My Financial Worth? And then there's also a link there to book the complimentary call. So it's seamless. You can just select a few times and it will automatically send you a calendar invite and put it on your calendar. And you can also find me on Made Modern Money on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So connect with me and follow me on there if you would like as well. And, of course, tune in to the Live and Earn podcast on iTunes and Spotify. I believe I'm the only Helen No on there, and my last name is spelled N-G-O. So thank you very much. When? Hello, Wynn?
Oh, sorry about that. I muted my mic. I was going to say, I hope that people take you up on your offer and just invest their money wisely and start that side hustle today like I did. You guys can go find my book on Amazon. And I just hope you guys tune into Ellen's podcast. We'll have all of Ellen's information in the show notes. And I appreciate Helen's wisdom and Helen's financial savvy. And I hope we can impact others on her podcast with my money story as well. And Helen, give us your podcast one more time so people can hear it and go subscribe to it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
And your podcast is?
Live and Earn.
Live and Earn, not Live and Learn. I always thought it was Live and Learn, not.
Yeah.
It's Live and Earn, and I just hope that you are impacting people with your podcast, and I can't wait to be a guest. You guys will hear that story. We'll be recording it sometime in October, and then I will share it once about. And thank you, Helen, for coming on my podcast and sharing your story, and you guys have a beautiful day, and I'll keep you updated on my journey with money as I more and more talk about it publicly. And you guys know where to find me. You can email me at aspenwin@gmail.com or donate to my PayPal. My PayPal information is aspenwin. You can just click on that link in the show notes, and it will take you directly to PayPal, and you can donate whatever you wish, and I will be forever grateful. And, oh, by the way, I'm starting another podcast called The Author's Artwork, primarily for authors who have written books, big, small, I don't care, medium size, I don't care, traditionally published, self-published. I just want to find out how they did and what magic sauce between them and writing their books. So if you guys are interested in that, please, please, please contact me because I need guests for that one. And I appreciate you guys so much, your love and support and sharing this podcast and sharing my work. And thanks you guys for tuning in. Bye, you guys.